When I think of San Antonio, the first thing I think about, there's a lot of things. I've been here many times, but I do not think of the Riverwalk or the markets or the missions. I see faces. And the faces of the members of Hilburn Drive. Count it a real blessing to be here. Your hospitality and your love is A1.
Amen.
Brother Frank. I enjoyed getting to meet Brother Frank too. I'm thankful to hear him preach and get acquainted with him. I want to speak to you this morning on your life house. Your life house. The house that you're building. Your life. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 7. This is the close. This is what we know commonly as the Sermon on the Mount. This is Jesus. As he brings his sermon to a close, he preaches another sermon. Kind of like Joe Maldonado. But it's interesting that when he closes this fantastic sermon, recorded in Matthew 5, 6, and 7, he doesn't call for a quick, knee-jerk decision from anyone. He doesn't give a... Although it is an appeal, it is an invitation of sorts. It's not like the modern invitation. We got a squeaky board here. Now go on the other side. I want to read... beginning of verse 24. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them. Does that sound like works?
Yes.
Something to do here. What is there to do? These sayings of mine. Now, we're not going to go through the sayings, all of what the sayings are, but you better know, you better be concerned about them. Whosoever heareth these, not just sayings. Truth is on various levels. It's never good just to get one truth in your mind and camp out there and not move on to other truths. Truth is multi-leveled. Spiritual truth is multi-leveled. And you need it all to be saved. You need the whole sayings to be saved. You need the whole counsel of God. In the world, there are two levels or spheres of truth, as we will see. There's the physical, natural level of truth in the world. We all have to learn. We begin learning when we're just babies. Natural truth is something like, well, if you cut yourself, you bleed.
Right.
You jump off the roof, you break your leg. There's physical truth, natural truth.
Yes, sir.
And if you violate it too severely, you hurt yourself.
Yes,
natural truth. The world operates by natural laws. People can violate them, but they injure themselves. But there's the other level of truth that is condensed and summarized by these sayings of mine. Spiritual truth. And they are as necessary for your well-being as the physical laws and physical truth are for your physical well-being. You violate natural law, natural truth, you hurt yourself. You may kill yourself. You violate spiritual truth, you do yourself damage. You'll hurt yourself. Listen to what Jesus said. He said, "Whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended. And the floods came." And indeed they will. We'll look at this. "And the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rains descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it." Father in heaven, I ask that you bless your word and bless your people. And Lord, may we have a hunger and thirst for everything you've said. And may we be enabled by your grace not to just be hearers of the word or even talkers of the word, but help us to be doers of it. In Jesus' name, amen. The Lord closes his most famous sermon by this dynamic illustration. It's one of the best in the Bible. It's actually a little parable in itself, but it is a visual sermon. Something we're all familiar with. It's an exposure of reality in the natural world. You've seen, in fact, I had someone reference a while ago about the floods that we had in Arkansas a couple of years ago. You've been recently, if you've been watching the news, you saw the floods that was in Colorado and how that whole homes are washed away. I don't know who it is that cannot be moved when you watch a video of a house literally being washed away, swept away, or the aftermath of a tornado. It's an interesting illustration that Jesus uses. And he has here, "like unto." He's talking about something we're familiar with in the natural realm, and he says, this is how it is in the spiritual realm. This is what happens. There's a spiritual parallel, and it is this. Life crumbles. Life falls apart. Your life will deteriorate. Your life will end in catastrophe if it is not on the proper foundation. Now, you'll have to believe me about this. I don't normally buy these kind of magazines. But I couldn't resist this a few weeks ago in Walmart as I was going out, because the title caught my eye. "He could have been saved." And it's about this actor. I didn't know who this guy was. I'd been hearing him on the news. A lot of attention in the media. And the reason why is, I'll tell you in a minute. But this guy, his name is Corey Monteith. And the thing that so fascinated the media, the reason why the media paid so much attention to this guy is because this is just not supposed to happen. Here's a young guy, 31 years old, in the prime of life. Handsome as he can be. Makes lots of money. Tremendously talented. Good singer, according to what people said about him. And furthermore, he's a star. He's popular. Adored. Worshipped. Got a pretty girlfriend. Beautiful girlfriend. He lives in one of the most beautiful places in the world as far as scenery is concerned and just natural beauty. He lives in Victoria, British Columbia. And here he is dead, 31 years old. And why is he dead? This just isn't supposed to happen. The media says, you know, he's dead because he took an intentional overdose. He had a history of using drugs. Why do you people use drugs? Because they can't handle life. The winds are blowing on them. And the floods are moving on them. They can't handle it. The media's attention about this guy is, well, this just isn't supposed to happen. Jesus tells us the reason why it does happen.
Right. Come on.
Now, even in our little town where I live in, we've had an increase among teenagers of suicides. This last year, there have been two or three young people that have committed suicide. The rate's going up everywhere. It's an alarming thing. It's not supposed to happen. Listen. Jesus says and gives us the reason and says that if certain things are not done with my word, it is going to happen. So, he gives some instruction here to all of us. And he condenses all of mankind. Guess what? He puts no distinction between the rich and the poor, the educated or the illiterate. He puts no distinction between the haves and the have-nots. He puts no distinction between the doctor and the patient. He puts no distinction between the actor and the common Joe. He puts no distinction. He just puts all of mankind into one of two categories. Either wise or foolish.
Amen.
And that criteria of wisdom or foolishness is based upon what people do with spiritual truth. These sayings of mine. Now, my first point is this. Do you see that the sayings of Jesus are validated by what you see happening around you? Are people's lives crumbling? In fact, it's interesting. The very next article after this, Corey's Monteith article, was about a lady. In fact, like I say, I think I had written down. Melissa George, Georgia. But it's entitled, the next article is this. It's interesting. Melissa's perfect life is crumbling. Now, this is sad, folks. People's lives are crumbling. The validity and the authority of these sayings, Christ's words. Christ's words are not speculation. They are authoritative. The teaching, the truth, the precepts, the whole counsel of God. And everything God says, even in this illustration, think about it. Even in this final condensed illustration of the wise builder and the foolish builder, the reality of life is being confirmed by what we see. The whole of the Word of God is comprehended and confirmed by this brief but comprehensive summary of the two responses that human beings can give toward spiritual truth. And by the way, it's the sayings of Jesus that matter, not the sayings of Buddha.
Come on, come on, brother.
Yes, sir.
They make no difference. Apart, your life will not survive. You will not build a life house that will stand the troubles of this world without heeding the sayings of Jesus Christ. You ought to love them. You ought to devour them.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Hunger and thirst for them. Pour over them. God, make me to know them. God, make me to understand them. The sayings of Jesus. I survive by them. I live by them through my life. These sayings of mine. In fact, if you want to love truth, this thing is life. Life is in the sayings of Christ. It makes the difference, all the difference in the world to your life, whether you will stand or fall, whether you will hold steady and disintegrate and fall apart. What God says to us through Jesus Christ is in perfect harmony with bedrock reality. This is how it is. You cut yourself, you bleed. You fall off the roof, the law of gravity will hurt you. You violate and pay no attention to the sayings of Jesus, you self-destruct.
Right. Yes.
You destroy yourself. You're doing yourself harm. Because the sayings of Jesus are just as essential and vital to your inner soul's welfare and your mental and emotional well-being as any physical law would be vital to your physical welfare. So true. The sayings of mine. What God says to us in His Word is He's not speaking in ignorance. The words of Christ are not suggestions. The words of Christ are not postulations. They are not philosophy. They're not speculation. Jesus Christ is, without question, the God that made this world, and He knows what human minds and souls need. He knows what you need to work right. He knows what you need for your mental and emotional and spiritual well-being. And He has not left you without the remedy and without the help and without the foundation you need to live. I am come that they might have life. And not just a pitiful form of it, but life more abundantly. This is our Lord, His sayings. So, we're talking about Jesus speaking with authority. These sayings of mine. Look how casually He says it. He comes to the close of His sermon and He says, "All right, listen. How you survive is going to be determined what you do with my sayings."
Right.
You have no vote in this matter. If you heed them, you're going to be wise. And your life is going to survive the test. But if you're foolish and you pay no attention, your life, though you be rich, though you be famous, though you attain unto much accolades and achievements, your life is going to enclose in on you and you're going to crumble.
Right.
You're going to fall. You're going to self-destruct. So the basic theme here, these sayings of mine, Jesus teaches us how to live. Preeminently, we begin by faith in Him and obedience to Him. Doing what He says. "Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say. Cheers. You know, doing right can only come about when you obey Jesus. It's the right way to live. Now this is what I'm saying. This is not just an odd, weird, freakish thing, this thing of the Christian faith. Listen, this is man's way to live.
Yes.
It's how we're designed to live. The Lord knows what we need.
Amen.
Mentally. He knows what we need emotionally. He knows what we need spiritually. And my friend, there's life in Christ and righteousness, doing right. It's not just a nice way to live. It's essential for your survival. Righteousness. So the basic theme of the teachings of Christ is, if you look, how you conduct your life before God and man in the teachings on the Sermon on the Mount. These sayings of mine, how you ought to live your life in this world. So if you don't give a flip, if you don't care to know, who's going to be hurt by it? Who are you hurting? What's going to happen to you? Listen. Listen to the Lord. There is an opportunity and there is a strong warning here, folks. This is what occurs. This is not just true in some cases. This will be true in every case. It's comprehensive, folks. You're either going to stand or fall. You're either going to be shaken to pieces and fall to pieces and disintegrate, or you're going to stand. So righteousness is vital to the love of your life. You want to love life? Do right. How do you do right? You first you follow Christ.
Amen.
You find out what He says. And you begin obeying it at what levels you can obey it. You start obeying Him. Doing. You know the amazing thing about, you may say, well, the teachings of Jesus are just so overwhelmingly. When you hear the teachings of Jesus, take heed what you hear and do what you know to be true and you'll get more. That's a spiritual principle. When you apply what you know and you do what you know to do, you get more. And that way, you get more truth and more truth and more truth. And the more truth you get, the freer you are. You shall know the truth. And the truth shall what? Set you free. There's freedom. Life in these sayings of mine. For he that will love life, listen to this, 1 Peter 3. He that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. Let him eschew, that means turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. For living good in this world depends, it's all hinging on the sayings of Jesus. Handling life, and especially living good in the world to come, depends upon obedience to the teachings of Jesus. Also the Lord, and it is acknowledged in these words, something we know by watching nature, looking out on the world, we know it to be true. What is that? Bad weather. Disasters. Happen to good and bad alike. And that's all in the natural world. I remember, what it was, a couple of years ago when they had that serious, was it in Joplin, Gary, where they had that bad tornado? I heard some Christians that were interviewed. Their home was touched by the tornado. Many Christians were. Does bad weather just fall upon? You know, we like to say that, well, God sends rain on the just and the unjust. Let me say, He sends bad weather on the just and the unjust. Doesn't he? This is something true to nature. We also know that shoddy built houses without foundations crumble and fall. And the illustration suggests and declares that unless your life building is built on the proper foundation, it's going to deteriorate, disintegrate, and end in a catastrophic way. Isn't that amazing? Hold on here. Jesus traces either the standing or the falling of life to one issue. It's not how famous you are, or how much money you got, or how pretty your girlfriend is. It is how you're related to the truth of God, how you're related to Christ, and how obedient you are to His teaching, to His Word. A single issue. And that issue is obedience or disobedience. You know, there was one time a woman cried out when she heard Christ's teaching. She said, "Blessed are the breasts that fed you and the paps that you have sucked." And He said, "Yeah, I say unto you, rather blessed is he that hears the Word of God and keeps it." The blessed are those who are obedient. People like to blame. You know, it's amazing when people's lives begin to crumble and fall. They like to blame all sorts of non-essentials. "Well, my luck is bad." What's that? What's luck? Jesus says here, luck has nothing to do with it. These things of mine. You want some good luck? Get into the good Word. The government. I just can't. They just won't grant my disabilities. The economy. Blaming the economy. Blaming other people. Blaming something. Blaming even God. And yet Jesus teaches that the collapse and the ruin and degeneration and catastrophe that is coming in people's lives happens right now in this world because of either obedience or disobedience to His teachings. And so we can see this. We see it in the natural world. There's floods come, winds come, tornadoes come, and houses get swept away. You see this all the time. Visible troubles and problems bringing people down. We have a doctor in our community. He's one of the smartest doctors I know. His life is crumbling. He's just a young doctor. He's going through a divorce. He's married to a beautiful woman who is also herself a physician. And his life is crumbling and falling apart, but he is highly educated and highly intelligent, but he's falling apart. And his life is not falling apart because he's not smart. His life is falling apart because he doesn't pay any heed to the teachings of Jesus Christ. Whether you're a doctor or an actor or a rock musician, or just a common, poor individual. I have a friend there in Batesville. He's a Christian and he has a pawn business and as well as a used car business. And sometimes I'm visiting with him. All kinds of people come in there that you don't know. They're just common people. But their life is absolutely, you can tell by the way they look. You can tell by listening to their talk and why they need money. Their life is literally crumbling apart. It's falling apart! Listen, my friends, destruction is equal opportunity destruction. It doesn't matter how big you are or how little you are, how rich you are or how poor you are. It's not heeding the word of the Lord. Jesus goes to the heart of the reason for ruin and collapse in life. And that ultimate catastrophic fall, which there is no recovery. Thank God, a little flooding and a little wind damage, you can recover from it. But there will be an ultimate one, which there will no be recovery. But it's all due to a singular spiritual issue, yes. Connect the dots. Run the lines. You trace the ruin of somebody's heart and mind and body and soul to this one issue of not heeding the Word of the Lord. And it appears, from what Jesus is saying, that this scenario can take place on any level or on any status of society. It can take place on the individual level, your personal life. It can take place on the family level. It can take place on the national level. Can a nation go down?
Yes, brother.
Can a nation fall to pieces? And this destruction and disintegration can be manifest in all degrees of intensity. As I said, it can start off in mild forms. Your life begins, life begins closing in on people, first of all, in mild sort of ways. And then it becomes more severe. And then more severe. And then there's complete ruin. So Jesus gives us an answer here. We are taught, secondly, that we're dealing, all of us, with some serious issues over which you have no choice. Guess what? It's serious to be alive, but you have no choice about it. Guess what? Building your life is a serious business, but you have no choice. Every one of you is doing it right now. You're building. And when you said, there was an old song, I'm working on a building. I'm working on a building. Indeed, you are. You are working on a building. Your life. Every day you're working. You don't have any choice. Being alive. Living. Being who you are. You're building some sort of life. And you're facing what comes your way that you have no choice over. You're going to have afflictions that you have no choice over. You're going to have diseases that you have no choice over. You're going to have financial setbacks that you have no choice over. You're going to have all kinds of calamities. And you're moving on to a consequence. You're always in the process of reaping a little bit today what you've sown yesterday.
Yes.
Don't think God's law of the harvest is out of date. Right. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. So we're dealing with issues over which we have no choice. That puts us in a dilemma. Right? You didn't vote on life, did you? You're alive. And therefore, you will and must build your life a certain way. And you're right now building your life. Every one of the young people, you're building your life right now in a certain way. You're going in a direction. So you have no choice. You're here. Well, I don't want to be here. You are. Deal with it. You're going to have to deal with it. I don't want to deal with it. Pow! Fall apart. Why couldn't you deal with it? Because you wouldn't care about the sayings. These sayings of mine, they're your life. They're your well-being. They're your salvation. Your life. Something else you have no choice on the matter. The nature of the foundation you build on. You can never make the truth a lie, and you can never make lie truth. The nature of the foundation. You can never make rock sand, and you can never make sand a rock. The nature of the foundation. the nature of what you're building upon, the issue. You cannot decide. Listen, you have no say-so over whether you're alive, and you have no say-so over where the truth of Jesus is true. It's true. It was true from the very foundation of the world. It'll be true all through your life. And when you die, it'll be true. Heaven and earth shall pass away. My word shall never pass away. You don't vote on truth. And furthermore, you can do nothing against the truth. Truth's going to get you one way or the other. So you can't decide the issue of whether these sayings are true. And they're here with you. Uh-oh. They're here. They're not hidden. They're abundantly here. They're published. They're published in various translations. They're made as easy as possible for you to understand. These sayings of mine, they're here. The nature of your foundation that you're building on, you cannot vote on it. You do not have a say-so in this. Your life house that you're building is going up on some kind of foundation. The truth that is true, the teachings of Jesus, you can only do one thing. You can bow to it and believe it and obey it, but you never can vote on it. It's true. The way of wisdom will never be the way of foolishness. And the way of foolishness will never be the way of wisdom. Life and death, and the way of life and death is fixed and unchangeable, whether you like it or not. Doesn't matter. The way of life has already been told us. The way of death has already been spoken. And it doesn't matter whether you approve or disapprove. It brings me to my third point. The critical distinction in life, in your building of life, is not the weather you face, but the foundation you built upon. Look at this in verse 25. Here's the wise man. Here's the one that heeds the saying. Here's a believer. The rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house. Look at verse 27. Here's the foolish man. Here's the unbeliever. Here's the disobedient. And the rain descended. Do you see this? Same thing said of both. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house. You don't say that the distinction is in the weather. The bad weather came upon the wise. The same weather came upon the foolish. Listen, my friend, Jesus is promising something here we know to be absolutely true. No matter who you are, where you reside, who your mom and daddy is, who your son and daughter is, you're going to have your share of troubles and problems in this world. Man that is born of woman is a few days and many troubles. Without exception, we're all going to face trouble, problems. Hey! Somebody say, preacher, do you ever have any problems? He said, I'm married. Shakings, beatings from bad weather, they come upon all. And in a real sense, being good or bad has nothing to do with the weather that comes upon you. Jesus is certainly not preaching health, wealth, and prosperity for those who will believe His Word and live a faithful life. Is He? Hey, I thought I was going to get out of trouble when I started following the Lord. What does the Scripture say? Many are the afflictions of the righteous. I've got a brother-in-law right now who is very, 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 very ill. He's been dealing now 4 or 5 years with bone cancer. It's amazing. It's a miracle he's still alive. He didn't vote on this. Affliction. Disease. We know God's sovereign over this thing. But let me tell you, just because we live in the world, why is trouble such a common thing? Let me tell you, Adam did it to us. The good things we appreciate. Fair weather. We like the sunshine. We like the cloudless days. But they don't last. So Jesus is not preaching something good is going to happen to you. No. And He's not telling lost people, if you'll just turn to Me in repentance and faith, I'll let you escape from all the problems of life. Listen to Christians. Get that delusion out of your mind. Trouble. What did Jesus say? In the world you shall have tribulations. Trouble. Why is that? Look how crazy everybody is in the world. How can you live in a world of crazy people and not have some trouble? Look who's president. I'm just telling you, one of the reasons why we have so... Look what's wrong with the world. There's too much wrong with the world. There's too much wrong with others. And there's too many flaws in yourself for you to live trouble-free. No chastening of the present seemed to be joyous, but grievous. So life-shaking troubles are sure to come, and they could shatter your life to pieces. But a proper foundation will help you weather the storm and not collapse and fall. You and I, beloved, are going to need our lives tied down to a real strong foundation. A rock that will hold you up in the changing fortunes of life. The emphasis here is not sin and sinful living that's going to bring you down. In fact, the emphasis is not sinful living brings storms in your life that you can handle, that you can't handle. But life is going to bring to you storms, disappointments. You wouldn't have the same promise to both the wise and the foolish. Life is going to bring disappointments, setbacks, calamities, hardship, problems you will not be able to handle if you're in sin. You see, apart from Christ and disobedient to the Word, your life closes in on you and you can't handle it. You know why people turn to drugs? You know why people turn to alcohol? It's not alcohol or drugs that gets people. It's life that gets them. They're not able to cope or handle the stress, the strain, the breakdowns. Why? They have no foundation. No strong foundation. And therefore they turn to sandy, artificial props that makes their life even more miserable and makes them fall even sooner and harder. Apart from Christ, apart from obedience to the Word, the message in the Word is not to how to escape trouble, but rather how to escape collapsing and faltering into utter ruin when trouble comes. Calculate it. It's going to be true. Bad things are going to happen to you in this world. But don't you move ahead and face them. You cannot face life without a firm foundation. It's essential. You need it. And furthermore, let me say, it's not going to be easy if you choose the wise way. You're still going to be tempted, tested. Your life is going to encounter hard things, but having the right foundation will mean that you can stand whatever comes and not collapse. Amen. This is essential. So the option is given us here this morning. Jesus, isn't it interesting? He closed. He really did. He closed His sermon with offering men a choice. Don't be afraid to offer sinners a choice. I had a man one time in our church. He was so Calvinistic. He said, "Preacher, you ought not to invite sinners to Jesus. They can't come." That's not what Jesus said. He says, "Listen, I'm putting out an equal opportunity building program here."
Amen, brother. Come on.
Thank you, Lord.
Said, "If you will just listen to what I say and start obeying it and doing it," he said, "you're going to build right and you're going to have a strong foundation."
Amen.
"But if you don't listen to what I say and you don't care, you're going to be building your life on a sandy foundation, which when the troubles come, you're going to find yourself collapsing emotionally, collapsing mentally. You're going to find your life deteriorating, crumbling, falling apart." And then, not only catastrophe, but the final ruin. So it's pivotal to how you're going to handle and build your life to your response to His words. I'm not offering you, nor is the Lord, a knee-jerk decision here. You know, notice in verse 24 and 26, and I'm going to close here. But not only does Jesus offer, He makes a pressing point that both the wise and the foolish have heard the word. Did you see it? "Whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, whoever heareth these sayings of mine." God gets His word to people. Sometimes we think, "Oh, God can't get His word unless we send missionaries out." Listen, God is His own witness. And furthermore, don't you ever forget the Holy Ghost is loose in the world. What does He do? He reproves the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. God's getting His word to people. He's getting conviction to people. But more people, Brother Frank, have a conscience. God's got His fingerprint on the soul of a man. So these sayings, Jesus said, "These sayings of mine," God gets His sayings to people. You know, children, especially you that are lost, you know God's been getting His sayings to you. You've heard them. You know them. He gets it to you. His claims are there. And the only way you can avoid ruin in your life is by heeding what you hear. He compares and equates success in life by heeding, obeying His word. Let me tell you this, what this means. It begins with a decision at a point in time in your life, but it is a lifelong decision. I do not preach a salvation that is compassed and comprehended in just a one-time decision. It's going to be a decision the rest of your life. A lifelong surrender of your life to Jesus. A lifelong abiding in Him and His words abiding in you. A lifelong application of His word to all the issues of life the Lord addresses. So, building your life on the words of Christ will take a lifetime of obedience. But it's got to start at a point. You got to start working and building on that true foundation. It begins, doesn't it? It begins. And the evidence of whether you're obeying or disobeying will be clearly seen in your life. I'll assure you, I guarantee you, young person, if you don't build your life on Christ and His teachings, your life is going to get crazy and fall apart. Go to pieces. Your perfect life, even if you've got a perfect life, it's going to crumble. There's no way it can stand. Life is going to close in on you and you can't handle it. And you think the only way to handle it is more sex and more drugs and more alcohol, and it only makes matters worse. So with time and in trouble and with problems that come to one and all, those that have the true foundation will not collapse. They will not despair. They will not. Amen? Their life will not fall to pieces. So I close today with a repeat of the opportunity that every one of us is going to go out here with this opportunity. I'm going to go out here today with the opportunity to either obey these sayings and heed them, or I'm going to go out ignoring them, disobeying them, rejecting them, putting it off. Oh, your life might seem fine, and your life, you may seem like you're getting along well when the sunny days upon you. But things are going to change. And if you don't have the foundation, great will be your fall. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for teaching us. Thank you for the holy book. Thank you for the things of God. Thank you for giving us men and women in our lives that have witnessed to us, told us the truth. Thank you for giving us a mom and dad that loved us and brought us to the house of God. Thank you, dear Lord, for every positive thing you've given us in our life. Thank you for the Bible. Thank you for the teachings of Jesus Christ. Thank you for the fullness of them. Lord, I pray you bless this church, this pastor, these people. I pray that today that a decision, a real bedrock, nailing down this issue will begin today to build life, not on the sand, but on the rock. Oh God, help. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.